Amen. Who was touched? Not that it's about a feeling. Who was touched in the time of worship? Who did God speak to? We don't come here for goosebumps and feelings, but it's a religious spirit that will tell you that it's not about feelings as well. That your emotions is not. We are triune beings. We are body, soul, and spirit. And I believe we worship God and we are touched and being filled by Him and touched by Him in all three of those areas. Who's ever been in a relationship? If you're a born-again believer and if you get married or you have a great friend, but a relationship, a true relationship, will touch all three parts of who you are. Now, why the heck would God have made it otherwise with Himself? So, please, it is about understanding, it is about the mind, but it's also about the spirit and the soul. And even the psalmist says that my flesh cries out for you. David said that even my flesh cries out for you. You get hooked, I guess, at this verslaaf. Addicted. Even your flesh yearns and cries for the peace of God, for the word of God, and for God to speak into your heart. And that's just where I'm at the moment. And if that is weird to you, all I can say is taste and know that the Lord is good. That's all. Taste and know that the Lord is good. And praise the Here. He doesn't want Dirk to have this amazing oogie-woogie feeling experience at church and the rest of us just to check out, wow, Dirk, wow, this is an amazing quest. No. He wants all of us just as His children to connect with Him. Let's leave it at that. My wife stares at me. She probably knows that there's little time. We've been talking this year, beginning of this year, especially about being anchored. And the long story short is that God gave us a vision. The reason I do repeat stuff is because the Word says very clearly that before God can give us the new wine, He can give us the anointing, He can give us the impartation, many a times He builds a new wineskin. Because otherwise, if we don't have an understanding of certain things, or a lack thereof, He might just give you an impartation and it just gets lost along the way. So we sometimes repeat these things so that we can have an understanding. So when God does something, bah, massive in your life, or when your boat gets rocked, you'll have an understanding concerning Hebrews being anchored, and then God can come with His Spirit, and you can contain that which God gives you. So that's why we do it. It's not because I've got nothing to do, or I just like to cut and paste. No, it's so that there's a nice understanding, a wineskin, so that God can, in this season, give us the anointing, give us the impartation that we need for the road ahead. And that's what I'm trusting Him for. We said to each other that an anchor is a person or a thing that provides stability or confidence in an otherwise uncertain situation. Who has not ever faced an uncertain situation this week? Even today. We face uncertain situations daily. Well, I do, at least. Don't know about the rest of the holy saints, but I do. And so, hence we grab hold of whom? Jesus Christ. We said He's our primary anchor. We said that He is also anchored inside of us. And then lastly, we looked at the Word last week saying that, guys, there's a lot of stuff running around. There's a lot of things that can be said. There's a lot of things on Facebook and Google. A lot of preachers, pastors, and including myself. They say stuff, but you need to test it at the hand of the Word of God. You need to get into the Word of God. And then what was really important for me is that there's authority and power in the Word of God, and we need to walk in that. Something that stood out last week, just a prophetic maybe scripture that came to heart, and I know Edna used it this last week, in counseling a couple of people, but just a word maybe in season for some of us is Philippians 2:13 that says, "For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out His good purpose." In other words, it's not that I say, yes, man. Manne, jylle moet gou vir my X, Y, and Z doen. You have to go and do the following. Bernard, I think you need to do worship and quickly pick up your guitar and just come and do this thing. And you're like, man, I really don't sense that on my heart. I don't even play the guitar. for argument's sake, very well, but okay, I'll do it. And you come and you fall into a place of absolute dead works. Yet the scripture calls us to a place as Christians saying that, don't worry, relax. It won't be a retief hammering down on Bernard, telling him what to do. No, it'll be God inside of Bernard, working him in him a heart to pick up his guitar and come and worship. Pietri, I really hope you didn't knock him out to buy him coffee to come and worship last week. I guess you didn't. But we trust it was God that works in us to both will and do. And that's what we want to chat about quickly today, is where else can we be anchored? We get anchored in the Word. We're anchored with Jesus Christ. We're anchored to that hope. We're not anchored in our culture. You're not anchored in your job. You're not anchored in your salary. What else did we say we can falsely be anchored to? Anything? Family, friends, yes. What else can we be anchored to that might let us down? Status, yes. Profile status. Anything else? What else? Just quickly, what is the false fires? What is the false anchors that might just... Food. Yeah, food. Any other anchors that you can think of? Just quickly, false anchors. Luxuries, yes. Comfort, yes. There's a lot of anchors in our life. Yet God calls us back to the primary ones. And we do this not to be funny, not to be all religious, but we do this because they are eternal. They're worth something. They're worth your while. It is actually an anchor that you're not going to only have in this life, but you're going to have it thereafter. Who's ever, weet al wat staat gemaak op iets, vasgehou aan iets, en het was totaal weggeruk van jou? Who's ever trusted something so badly and thought, this is it, the way, the truth, and the life, and then it got rocked and even taken away from you? And you're actually shocked. Three of us, four of us? Oh, okay, cool. All of us. Great stuff. Then we're in the right church. Now today, very simply, we're going to look at the being anchored to the Holy Spirit. Who of you can truly say that I'm anchored to the Holy Spirit of God? Amen. May we all grow in that. Now, what is God's heart for us? You can go to the next slide. Thanks. God's heart for us, we said, is pretty much this: what happened in worship time. It's to get into His presence. No, it's not only about myself, me, myself, and I getting in God's presence and, you know, and getting all filled up and everything. No, it's not only that. But you know what? What happens in religious circles, and I say that in a negative sense of the word, is that if you don't even have a place where you've got to get any input, where you don't get any petrol, but you go out to try to save the world, you can't give them anything. If I haven't been with the Lord to get fresh manna from Him, I've got nothing to give you. I can come fake, I can try to fake it until I make it, but if I don't have and get fresh bread from the Lord myself, there's not much, and there's definitely not much authority in what I will say to you. Hence, it's true for all of us as the saints. We need to get in there. We need to get into the sanctuary behind the curtain. And who made the way? Our anchor, Jesus Christ. So God's heart was, firstly and foremostly, we need to get into His presence. It was robbed from us in Eden, and we need to get back. And we can live in that place, as He said to Abraham and promised him in Genesis 17. Live in my presence and be blameless. So we can have that. And the second thing that was important, as we said, is that He's given us His indwelling Spirit. Or in this case, He says, and we will come to Him and make our home with Him. This is God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So those two things is important for us to remember. It's important to get into God's presence, have a relationship, be connected with Him. And then secondly, you need to remember that your true anchor lives inside. It's with you. It's Emmanuel, God with you. So it's relationship, His presence, and to be anchored inside. I don't care how great an evangelist you are. I don't care if you Reinhard Bunker or if you Steve Stunning for the Lord daily, and you've got this massive anointing. Guys, if you do not get to God personally as well, if you stop connecting with Him personally, it will soon be seen in your family. It will soon be seen in your life. It will soon be seen in all areas of your life. If I don't get to the Lord this morning, ask my wife how I am this afternoon. Don't ask her. Maybe not. Maybe she's not that diplomatic. But if I haven't been with the Lord for 2-3 days, if I've not been in His presence, if I had not moments like this morning, you'll clearly see it in my life. So those two things, I believe, is God's heart for individuals. Yes, we need to get together as a church. We need to get together as a small group. We need to get together as believers. Have anybody seen this thing that Angus Buchan has posted, this video, that we need to get together and pray? I really sense the Spirit in that. I really discern that that is of God. And yes, it's an important place. But some people only meet together, only get together here, and nearly never have those moments with the Lord that He's called us to. His heart was to connect individually, and yes, corporately, but we'll get to all of those things at the moment. Remember, we're talking about being anchored to the Holy Spirit today. I'm going to quickly just read to you, because we don't have much time. You can go to the next slide. Who knows what the old covenant is? Anybody still anybody of you, enig iemand onder die wet? Is iemand onder die wet hierso? Who knows what the old covenant is? I'm not going to ask Petri, it might take an hour, but it's amongst others the Ten Commandments. Yes, it's not only the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments, ordinances, and the way in which God prescribed them to bring worship to Him. It's in the first books of the Bible. In the Old Covenant, the Israelites were required to obey God and keep the law. And in return, He would protect and bless them. So they had to do what He said to them, what was written down. They had to adhere to that law. The Old Covenant required repeated daily sacrifices of animals as a reminder of the people's sin. Stephen, you look at the right? Exactly. It's a weird concept for all of us. We don't necessarily understand it, but you can go read through that. Under the Old Covenant, only the high priest could enter the most holy place where God's presence dwelt, and it was only once a year. You know what we had this morning? And I believe we can grow and heaven will be that on steroids. But what we had this morning was only allowed to the high priest once a year. And it was a touch and go if he'd make it out as well. But you can go to the next slide. Go read up a bit on the Old Covenant. One purpose of the Old Covenant was to make it absolutely clear that no man is righteous before God and that no one can save himself. In other words, in our flesh, we can't just keep to the rules. It's just difficult without the help of God. It just made it very clearly that righteousness cannot be obtained through hitting the hoops, doing the do's and don'ts as God prescribed, because they kept on missing it. They kept on failing at adhering to the ordinances and to the statutes of the Lord. The ultimate purpose of the Old Covenant was to point people to whom? Christ. The law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. I'm not going to read the rest. Today we are situated in a new covenant. What is it called? That's not a deep question, guys. What is the new covenant called? The new covenant, because it's new. You remember that, well, some of us are awake. It is a new covenant, but it is also a very beautiful covenant. In that, what does it mean? Anybody, just from the top of your head, what's the new covenant? What is it all about? Grace, yes? Saved by grace, yes? Love and relationship. Albert Ophelius men with us. Yeah, joke. Love and relationship. Love and relationship. Anything that stands out by the new covenant, about the new Christ Jesus, yes. Who's the one that crossed his T's and dotted his I's? Who's the one that jumped through all the hoops? Who's the one that adhered to the righteousness called by the old covenant? It was Jesus Christ. Now the new covenant, we can quickly read. You can go to the next slide. This is the dispensation we find ourselves in today. The new covenant is the promise that God makes with humanity that He will forgive sin and restore fellowship with those whose hearts are turned towards Him. So He restored our righteousness before Him through faith in Christ, not by doing the list of things, not by jumping through the hoops, but through grace, through one man that was also God. And His name was Jesus Christ. He said, I'll go and do it. I'll go and fulfill the old covenant so that they can freely, through faith, in humility, receive this beautiful, like Albert said it so beautifully, this love and relationship with their Father. I will build the bridge again.
I will be the forerunner, as we see in Hebrews. So guys, we're actually very fortunate to live in the dispensation we live in. It's a very fortunate time in time that we are living in. And I think sometimes we do forget it. Forgive, restore fellowship with Him. Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, and His death on the cross is the basis of this promise. Now, if you go read there, Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law of Moses and to establish the new covenant between God and His people. And here, listen quickly. The old covenant was written in stone. But the new covenant is written where? On our hearts. The new covenant is written on our hearts. And this is a very big key that you need to take home. I know you might know this. It's old news, but I think we're just going to walk down an interesting road this morning to make sure that we know that individually the law is in this time written on our hearts. Let's just quickly look at Jeremiah 31. And for us, this is where we find ourselves. It's the dispensation we're in. This is how you grew up. But just imagine you found yourself in the Old Covenant times, dispensation period. How beautiful this might have sounded to you when the prophet Jeremiah prophesied the following. And he said, referring to where we are now, he said the following. Look, the days are coming. This is the Lord's declaration. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. And we know obviously the Gentiles being all of us. This one will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, to save them. A covenant they broke, even though I had married them, the Lord's declaration. We'll go to the next one. Is that the next one? Yes. Instead, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, the Lord's declaration. I will put my teaching within them and write it on their hearts. I will put my teaching in them and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will one teach the neighbor or his brother saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me. From the least to the greatest of them. You need not the Domini to teach you, because the Spirit wants to teach you. From the least to the greatest of them. This is the Lord's declaration, for I will forgive their wrongdoing and never again remember their sin. And so he speaks of this new heart and the fact that he'll give us what? The Holy Spirit. And as I said, we find ourselves in this time where it's so obvious, but yet in that time it was great, great news. We want to be anchored in the truth. And many a times we maybe neglect our hearts and we go seek it elsewhere, yet God has called you into a covenant where the answer is here on your heart. Some of us might get a bit of a fright now, but hectic. The word also says the heart is most deceitful above all, and out of it flows the issues of life. Praise God, go read where that stands in the word, by the way. But yes, some of us struggle to trust our own hearts. We're going to look at that just now, so please be aware. But God so beautifully did not come as with the patriarchs, where he spoke to the father and the father had to speak to the bigger family. He did not come in the time like with the dispensation of Israel, where he spoke to Moses, he spoke to the leaders, he spoke to them and they had to speak to the people. No, he came to a place where he said, individually, I'm going to speak to them. Individually, I'm going to lead them. Individually, I'm going to love on them. Individually, like this morning, I'm going to touch them. I'm going to speak to them. I'm going to speak to each one of you. He's going to come visit, not Moses, not Abram, but Petri, Ingari. He's going to come visit each and every one of us through His Holy Spirit and speak to each and every one of us. That is the God we serve. Who of us get 2 kids, 3 kids, 6 kids, 7 kids, and just speak to the oldest? Well, sometimes you're just like, gaan sê jy vir hulle, hulle gatte gaan brand. Yes, maybe sometimes you give a message, but you're not going to have your total relationship with the eldest to have it with all the younger. No, you've got a relationship with all the kids that God has blessed you with. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. Again, it's a beautiful place of prophecy. But I think it's a place where we need to stand still and remember, hey man, Ezekiel was speaking about us. Are we still anchored in this truth? And how effective is this truth in my life? I will give you a new heart and put in a new spirit in you. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be grateful to keep my laws. No longer you need to go look up and see all of the details of the law. Go look it up and try to do it out of the flesh. Strive and be performing the whole day. No, no longer will you have to do that because I've given you a new heart. I've given you my spirit, a new spirit for yourself. And I will move you. Many times you see people that Benjamin, they just moved up to, where is it exactly? Ethiopia. He's got two young sons. Son and a daughter. Sorry, apologies. Son and a daughter, like this big, not very big. And a bucky. And a wife full of faith. And a trailer. And God has called them and they moved up. They drove up from Mama's Breed to Ethiopia to go do mission work there, to go live there. And any other person would think, how the heck is that possible? Greta wil dit graag doen. Ietie hoop ietie met 'n bakkie, twee kinders. Nee, nie twee kinders nie. Okay, now there's honesty. Not with two kids. God, you got that. But just think how crazy that is. Yet, God has given him a new heart. He's given him a spirit. And then God said to him, he said about this dispensation, he said about people like us and Benjamin, I will move you. I will move you. What is it that God is calling you for? Does it seem too big? Does it seem too huge? He will move you. He will move you. Do not trust in your own understanding. Do not rely on yourself. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will direct your path. He will move you. It was prophesied over us as a people. What did Ezekiel promise us from God? A new heart. Who's been given a new heart after salvation or being born again? All of us, yes. Who's been given a new spirit? Remember, your spirit got born again. John 3:3. Unless you are born of the Spirit and water, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So all of us are falling within this. Third thing we got, the indwelling Holy Spirit. Who of you have the Holy Spirit? Three of four, six. In counting. Spirit is coming down. Anchored in the Holy Spirit. And then true holiness. Holiness and righteousness. Ezekiel promised us. Petri can be holy. Petri can be righteous. Why? Because of Christ. Because He's in a new covenant. God said to me a couple of years back, you get your covenants mixed up. And I'm like, what? And God didn't explain Himself. He just said, you get your covenants mixed up. And so I realized I struggle. I do have grace. I take hold of grace in certain areas of my life, but I'm very self-righteous, trying to do the right thing, adhere to the ordinances and the laws, maybe created by myself in another way. So I'm a bit demagogue. I'm a bit religious and then a bit gracious. So I get the covenants mixed up. And sometimes we need to test the way we do Christianity and the way we do life. Lord, am I truly, fully working in the new covenant? Or am I actually a bit having my own set of rules here at the back that I have for me and my couple of croonies around me, and we're actually a bit self-righteous. Anyway, that's just an ad break, but God just convicted me, and I had to go back to Him and say, Lord, please convict me where I'm not walking in the fullness of the new covenant, because we need to be anchored. We're looking at God's heart for us and the Holy Spirit that He's given us and where we are anchored in the new covenant through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:1, and the whole Romans 8 is so beautiful, but we can't get to everything, but we're going to do two-thirds quickly. Anchored to a new law through faith. Now, what we've unfortunately seen over the years is as well is that, yes, we're not under the law anymore. We're not under the Mosaic law, per se, But Jesus said, I came to not abolish it, to fulfill it. And he fulfills it through our lives. So a guy would easily, if you say, hey Dirk, then he'll tell you, well, ek sien onder die law nie. And so very quickly, somebody will say, well, there's no rules for me. Because grace is there. And that's a massive pitfall just from the enemy. In other words, grace is not, in layman's terms, grace is not permission to sin. Grace is not permission just to do what I want. Yes, but God talks to me individually. So who are you to ask me or come and challenge me on that? Who are you to do that? I'm under grace, not under law. But we need to look at Scripture before we make these assumptions. So be careful, and God might convict us in our own hearts like he convicted me of getting it mixed up, of where we might be missing it. There is still a law at play. There's nobody on earth that can say that they're not under a law. There's no law abiding to them. The New Age would love to tell you that. Yet the conversation only gets finished one day, and yeah, then it's too late. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not for those that are saying that they're Christians. No, for those that are found in Christ Jesus. And here's the beautiful verse. If you remember through the whole of Romans 8, only this verse, it's good. It's a good start. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from, in Christ Jesus, from the law of sin and death. I'm going to repeat that. Yes, you're under grace, and grace is amazing. But grace calls our hearts to a place where God still moves you, where you still adhere to what he asks of you. And the new covenant is here redefined by Paul. And he didn't call it the new covenant, he called it the law of the Spirit of life. You can very easily there have put the new covenant. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from, in Christ Jesus, from the law of sin and death. So now the law is not merely looking at what is written on the stone tablets. No, there's still a law, but now it is one that is written on my heart, and it brings forth life. It's no longer a schlep or a striving to do it. He comes and he gives you a command. He gives you his law, but he also gives you the life to do it. Let's go quickly through the rest of Romans 8. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. The do's and don'ts was impossible. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's another thing. I'm not under the law. Yes, you're right. But you need to walk according to the Holy Spirit. Guys, I think we need not kid ourselves. For a modern day Christian to truly walk by the Spirit is not that easy. Again, we're not called into a place of dead works and striving and druk om het recht te krijgen. No, not at all. But once you hit the flesh, you're in the flesh. And once by God's grace you surrender and get back into the Spirit, you are. But maybe we can work on our fitness by the grace of God. Remember, He will move us. He will help us. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Remember this. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Remember this. For to set the mind of the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. The mind of the flesh is hostile to God, towards God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So he says, hey guys, yes, you're in a new covenant, but there's going to be a tug of war. You're going to have the tug of war of being almost needing to know, where am I finding myself? But when you do walk in the Spirit's law of life will make it easy. But there's a place of total surrender. I want to challenge you, go read through Romans 8. It's beautiful, but we don't have too much time. Verse 11, if the Spirit of who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. You can be anchored to the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. So that the Spirit's law of life can be made manifest in you. So that you can lead a godly life. So that you don't look to a Christian guy or a Christian leader or some evangelist or a guy that you think bear a lot of fruit and think, wow, they're doing so stunning. No, they're just totally surrendered. They're just moving in the Spirit. And it's the Spirit's law of life that just brings forth life in their life. It is in this dispensation, not for Steve Stunning, not for Piet Pochenpool, but for all of us. You say, God, I'm willing. I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to give the tablets of my heart to be unblocked and just to be dusted off again, to remember that the law is already written there. The calling is already written there. The amazing things that you're going to do, the fruit that I will bear, is written there on my heart. So what we have is a new covenant that's personal. God wants it personal with you. The law is written on your heart and it's through His Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. Who trusts their heart? Quickly, who trusts their heart? One, maybe two people. You see, now we get to a bit of a weird situation. I've been given a new heart and a new spirit. I've been given the Holy Spirit, yet in our congregation this morning, there's very few people that say, I trust my heart. That is the beauty of it. God takes risks. What did we say on the first Sunday of this year? Who did he give his only son to? To mother. To Mary. Mary was probably between 12 and 14 years old. She was carrying around water and she was from a very small town. She was not elite. Or elitists. She was a very plain young girl. I said jokingly, I would probably not even have given her a smartphone, let alone give her God to mother. Yet God takes risks. He gives Moses the job to lead Israel. He gives Abram a massive job. And so you can go through how He gives people massive responsibility and takes risks. It's not about what we can do or how sorted out we are. It's about saying yes to Him. Last year we did a series on our hearts. Now just quickly to recap, that you can remember, what is my heart again? We said to each other, our hearts, you can go to the next one. I think it's on there. Next one, thanks. We said to our hearts is the following. Our thoughts and feelings, our mind. Our heart is that spiritual part of us where our emotions and desires dwell. The heart is used as a metaphor for the seat of our most basic orientation, our deepest commitments, what we trust most and love or hope in. It's funny that when you need to put a definition, it's difficult, but we all know what our heart is. You know your heart, and you know what it feels like. To be anchored and to know that God writes His law on your heart, yet in a church like this, nobody says that I trust my heart is a problem. Because the place, the instrument, the place where God wants to impart and come and write His leading, His vision, His heart for you, primarily but not only. Listen carefully. Primarily but not only. The place when He wants to download His heart for you, you say you don't trust it. So we need to say, Lord, obviously the enemy is trying to steal the place. He's trying to steal my cell phone. He's trying to steal the pad of writing paper that you've given me where you want to download. And I don't trust this paper. I'm not trusting this phone. Jesus, as I speak, I pray that you heal us. That we can trust our hearts because we trust Christ. Not because we trust ourselves. Not because we've become our own judges. That's quite frankly exactly what I want to talk about in 9.5 minutes. Is God has said, I will put my law in your heart. I will lead you. I will put it on your heart. But it's also given us protection. Because now and again you get in charismatic circles, you get an individual to say, well, God works with me personally. Yes, you're right. God has spoken to me. Yes, you're right. But then there's a total separation from the rest of the body. There's a total separation of anything else. And so they just wander off and do their own thing. Not that they have to come and just be in my holy huddle and do what I think and do my vision. No, not at all. But there's things I believe, and I've got 5 years. There's things that God has put in place that we can be safe around our own hearts. That we can really trust the vision that is on our heart. Who's got dreams on their heart? Amen. Who of you have God given massive vision that is written on your heart? Who of you? Massive vision. Amen. Amen. Problem is, guys, if we tell ourselves we're not trusting our heart, we've got a problem. And we need to say, Lord, help me. Now, what is the five things I believe that can help you? Because on the one side, you've got pride, saying, ek het van God gehoor en niemand sal vir my niks sê nie. And I'm like, have your merry way. We'll chat in a couple of months or seasons. That's usually what I see. Have your merry way. And then on the other side, you've got passivity that just, the enemy just wants to stuff the life out of you. No, but I don't know what God is saying, and I don't hear His voice, and I don't know. And yet God has spoken to you. And we need not one of the two. We need the godly balance. We're trusting God for the godly balance. First one I said, yeah. Let's look, it's a bit of a litmus test. It's a test to keep your heart in a safe place when God speaks to your heart. Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Guys, first thing, be found in Christ. Like you have to walk in the Spirit, be found in Christ. Ja, maar God gaf my Ferrari gee. Okay, cool. Maar kom ons gaan na Jesus toe. Kom ons praat gauw oor Jesus. Does it fit? Does it fit the mold? X, Y, and Z, yes. Okay, cool. God's going to give you a Ferrari. Yes. But you need to be found in Christ. What was Christ's heart? What was the manner in which He lived? He came as a slave. He rode on a donkey. He came to die and give, not only receive. So let's just see if what we believe actually, truthfully, belongs to our Messiah. So the first thing is, when we test our hearts, is, am I found in Christ? The second thing that we need to test when we say the Lord is on my heart is test the fruit of your heart. Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. In other words, if the law written on my heart is only fleshly gain, constantly fleshly gain, I need to be careful. I need to be careful. If it's only about fleshly gain the whole time and material stuff, then I need to be careful. Just say, Lord, chat to me. Yes, God will give shoes. Yes, God will give suits. Yes, God will give whatever you need to fulfill the calling on your life. We're not writing that off. We're just saying, let's keep our heart in a safe place, because here's a couple of people that are saying, I'm struggling to trust my own heart. It's easy. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is the following. So when the law is on your heart and you say, Lord, I believe you're saying this to me. I believe you're saying this to me. You believe you're saying this to me. Just take it and see, what will the fruit of this promise be? What will the fruit be of what God has told you? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is this love? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And you're in a safe place. You'll see all through the five elements that I mentioned, the five tests, or the five, what is buffers? But a better one than that. Thank you. You'll see that humility is a key. A third thing that we need to do is we need to guard our hearts. Guard our hearts. If I constantly hang out with skateboarders or surfers, within a couple of months, if I have natural talent for that, yes or no, if I hang out with cyclists a lot, I would want to get a new bike. That's just inevitable. It's just, that's what I want to do. I'll want to get a new surfboard. I will want to get a new skateboard. You just get influenced by it. But God might not be calling me to get a skateboard. I need to guard my heart. And just know, very simple example, but I need to guard my heart. Guard your heart in the culture you find yourself in. Guard your heart in the culture you find yourself in. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. The word says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. How do I guard something? With a weapon. What is my weapon that I guard my heart with? The word of God, the sword of the Spirit. You can guard your heart with the sword of the Spirit. Yes, God speaks to your heart. Yes, God writes His law in your heart. But if you've not partaken in the Word of God, the Gospels of Jesus Christ, around the things that you believe God is saying on your heart, be careful. You guard your heart with a weapon, and the weapon is the sword of the Spirit. Paul says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, it's not on there. Just listen closely, because this is what happens. You've got a promise. You believe this is of God. You believe He speaks to your heart. You're anchored to this truth. You've got this massive hope. But you go back to the Word. You don't just throw out what is written on your heart, but you want to be safe. You go to the Word of God. For the Word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. So it will tell you, is this a soulish heart? Or is this your spirit heart? The new heart that God has given you. Between joints and marrow, soul and spirit. The Word will tell you if this promise is of God, if this is what is written on your heart is truly of God, the Word will help you. Guys, am I saying this because I'm speaking from this high and mighty pedestal? No. Because I'm the guy that 7 years back moved out to Malmesbury to be settled there, work as a lawyer, make lots of money, and then lead a cell group for the Lord for the rest of my life. That's what I believe. That was truly the law of my heart. I wanted a nice SUV, a flipper nice house, maybe two SUVs, a very nice house, no cats, sorry, that was not on my heart, and a couple of dogs, and then kids with Earth Child clothes running around in the mud and making nice espressos and flat whites and sending on messages, I'll pray for you, to other people. I wanted to live this life, and I thought it was the perfect, it was God's heart. But God had to come and just say, yes, a lot of that is what I've given you on your heart, but let's just take the sword of the Spirit. Let's just get fruit-bearing guys into your life that can speak and challenge and say, whoops, I don't know. And then just go through the fire. Go through the desert. And then I'll just sort out your heart, because the law is written there. It just needs a bit of care. So please, when I'm sharing this message, it is because I know how it feels, but I'm thankful for it today. Not that it's done. I'm still a work in progress, but that's what I'm saying. So take the Word. Final two things as the countdown begins. Final two things I believe that we can trust our hearts and that we can safely say, God speaks to me. He leads me. Two things that I've seen the fruit of very much so in my life is accountability and the fact that the Word says I'm part of a body. Two things. Two last things. Accountability. Wisdom is found in the counsel of many. Please don't lend your ears out to everybody. That is not safe. You can get hurt. I got hurt in accountability because I asked the wrong people. So here you need to tread very carefully. Lord, who is the one or three people that I can speak to that bears fruit but can honestly speak to me and honestly say, Rolf, wat denk jy? Honestly ask you. Do that with the Lord. But accountability is a biblical principle. And the last one is that we are part of a body. Yes, you've got season where God isolates you. Paul had that. It's no problem. But if your whole life is constantly a place where you're isolated spiritually, concerning your promises and the law in your heart, I'll have questions. I might not have the right to ask questions about your life because you're isolated and not part of, not relationally walking with me, but we've got a bit of a problem. Because that's where things can get skewed, because the flesh and the spirit, they have a battle daily. And we want to walk according to the Spirit. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Where else do we see that principle? Very, very easily. We see that you love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength, and you love your neighbor. God just has this balance all the way. If there's no balance there, I'll say, be careful of what is on your heart. If there's only, I've got this love of God, but I cannot stand people. And I'm saying that it's not because there's something wrong, it's because we get hurt. Because people hurt people. God never hurt people. He doesn't. It's not his way of doing. So we get hurt. And so the enemy just takes you step by step off the direction, saying, well, I love God, I give him everything. He speaks to me, he connects with me individually, we are fine, but the rest of you oaks, you just stay away from me. Thank you very much. Even though that seems like a safe space, the irony is it's not. And I know, and I've seen it, and this year even I see it, is that it's not easy. It's not easy. Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You're not all, you're listening in Mengel Musni. We are individuals and each one is so important. The law on each one's heart is so important. The law on Johan's heart is so important to AB. Because the law on AB's heart is so important to Johan. Because if one suffers, both of them suffer. That is the beauty, but yet also the challenge of what God has given us in this new dispensation. He calls us, give us new heart, new spirit. And he downloads the law in your heart to love him, but also love your neighbor. Because as you one walks in obedience to the call on his heart, and as he uses those five things, maybe just to test his heart now and again, go through the word, he's such a blessing to AB. And likewise, as AB does it, he's such a blessing to your heart. It's not easy, is it? But it's doable. Heidi Baker, in closing, I apologize, we're 4.5 minutes over. The more pure our hearts become, the clearer our vision becomes. The more pure our hearts become, the more clearer our vision becomes. I went out, we moved out to Malmesbury thinking we're gonna turn that place around because God has said to us to move there. That in itself was enough just to see revival and the fire falling from heaven and people getting slain in the spirit and saved and walking and whatever. And yet we went there so that God can just circumcise the poof out of our hearts. But today I'm thankful because the vision became clearer. Because he has been speaking to my heart. He has written the law on my heart. Obviously he does that every day. I'm speaking big vision now, but he does it small as well. He has been speaking to me, but sometimes we just need it to be wiped clean, to be touched by the hand of the Lord and the word of him. The more pure our hearts become, the clearer our vision become. Can you stand with me? And we're just quickly going to pray. I love Matthew 5:8, which says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Hey, and we can just come to kids, like kids, we can just come to God today and just say, Lord, we just want to be childlike. And you don't even have to worry too much. We're just going to pray quickly. I think God has spoken to our hearts. Lord, thank you that this morning you said to us, you're taking out false fires out of our hearts. Anything that is burning falsely in our hearts, thank you that you take it out because you love us. Not because you're a killjoy or spoil sport, but because you're a loving Father. And Lord, thank you that you've given us our hearts. And I pray for healing, Lord, for all of us. Where almost none of the guys here could have said today that they trust their hearts. I pray, Lord, that faith will be restored to hearts. We've been given new hearts. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Word of God. We've been given the body of Christ. God, restore to us our faith to trust our hearts. That if God speaks to you and gives you a massive vision, that you can trust him. To know that he's a good God, that he will fulfill what he set out to do. And yes, if something is skew in our thinking, that like you've done with us in a long season, you will sort it out because you love us. God, I pray that trust will restore in you so that we can trust ourselves and our hearts. We can trust your heart and so we can trust our hearts. Because the word says you've given us new hearts. So I just speak that truth over all of us, Lord. And there's lies and condemnation and shame, we ask that you lift it off and that we come and plead the blood of Christ over us, Lord. I just sense God says he doesn't want to take any person's identity away from them. This is actually a place to keep you safe. So Lord, we just thank you for pure hearts for all of us, Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And then that will be open that you speak to our hearts. That the law will be on our hearts and that we can follow you. And thank you, Lord, that we can be found in Christ. Thank you that you allow us to test the fruit of the things that our heart believe, that it be the fruit of the Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to guard our hearts with the word of God, with the gospels. And that we will not relent, we will not stop to wield that sword with you so that we can can move as you write on our hearts. And lastly, thank you that you help us to be accountable with the right people, not the wrong ones that hurt us, but that can partner with us and run with us. And thank you that you've placed us in the body, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that massive vision will be born through lives here. Massive vision. With all eyes closed, if you've got a vision and you just want God just to blow his faith again into it, just raise your hand. Just blow over your heart again. Yeah, God likes this. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you'll just blow your life, your gracious life, over these visions and these hearts again. And wherever we've got hurt by Christians in the past, Lord, I pray that you bring healing to hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of these hands. Thank you that you'll just bless them and that you will bring to fruition. Because the word says that you will move. God will move in Jesus' name. Have your way, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.